That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, that old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel.
Welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this morning. What day is it, Kyle? I know it's Saturday.
That's all I know.
I think it's the 10th.
Yeah.
I believe it's the 10th. Good morning, John. Well, it looks like everything's broadcasting out of here. I don't, sure don't want to shut her down and reboot it, but we're going to start out with a word of prayer. Kyle, would you do that, and then we'll just see where we go from there.
Oh God, my Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning humbly, Lord, and thankful for this day that you made, thankful for this opportunity to get together with your people and have fellowship, thankful for your Son who died on the cross for us, so that we can live not according to the flesh, Lord, but walk in the Spirit. I ask you this morning to give us that extra dose of Holy Spirit in our minds, in our hearts, and through our words, that we can put aside the thoughts of the flesh that are unpleasing to you. Lord, again, we thank you so much for this opportunity. We thank you that we had the pastor that built this with your help, Lord, so we could sit here and talk about the Word of God and the things of the day. We ask again for your guidance and direction, and give us strength and courage as tomorrow we start a new week. We ask it in blessed holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And again, good morning, John.
Morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And didn't know if we had Tim down there this morning or not. I know he was in town doing some work.
And, I am.
So, well, good morning, Tim. How about that? So we've just got all the bases covered this morning. And we say good morning to you, the remnant. Hope you have your coffee poured and your Bible open. And that's almost along the lines of keep your powder dry, I think.
Yeah.
As far as importance, I want to make sure that you do that. Definitely keep your Bible open. And we'll open up the phone lines here, 307-745-5913, if you want to call in for and have a comment for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Talking with Kyle a little bit before the program this morning, he said that I guess he pretty much finished up the newsletter printing yesterday, Kyle?
Yes, sir.
So that'll, go in the mail Monday, you think?
I believe so.
Well, that's great. And we'll see if we can get that posted up to the website. I think we've got it put together in a PDF format so we can do that. So we encourage you, if you haven't read the Dragon Slayer newsletter, if you're not familiar with it, you can contact this ministry for a free copy, a sample copy if you'd like. You can also go to our website, scripturesforamerica.org, and there at the website, you can take a look at it. They're archived there. You can look at last month's and last year's. And this Volume 7 that's going out is entitled Salt of the Earth. And many of us have heard that term, Salt of the Earth. But I have a feeling that there's not that same amount of many that understand what it means.
Yeah.
And understand the and see the different places and the different ways that the Bible talks about salt and the salt of the earth. But if you take a look through this Dragon Slayer newsletter, you'll read things such as Lot's wife being turned into a pillar of salt, all the way to where we're supposed to have a little salt in our speech, and several things in between. So I encourage you to do that. Dragon Slayer newsletter. If you want to write to us, we know we have a lot of listeners on shortwave. May not be on the internet, but so if you want to write to us for one, our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And a couple of current events that really caught my eye this morning and Thursday of this week as well was the flooding that is going on in the nation. Now, August is not normally known in this country as a month that you get floods. Unless you've got hurricanes down south, which they really don't have right now, but they do have tons of rain, you usually don't have floods. But we had floods. We spoke with Ralph in Missouri, just outside of Branson, and also Rick there in, I think, Salem, Missouri. And, boy, they both were calling for prayer from the rains and the floods that they've had there. And headlines this morning, Colorado was having flooding there in the Colorado Springs area, and I think in parts of Denver as well, underground parking garages and things like that. And we've certainly had more rain here at the Radio Ranch in the last 2 weeks than we normally get in any two given months. So, not sure exactly why. I know if it's part of the, at least in the physical, the latter rain, we're sure glad to have it here. Now, yeah, I know you've got some people out there that'll call in maybe or just say, yep, well, that's that HARP up there in Alaska going on. They're manipulating the weather. And I really don't think that's what it is. Any comments on that, on the extra rain we're getting, the flooding?
No, it's, you know, you look at it and you know, anymore, it seems like everybody complains about everything. You know, if it rains too much, if it doesn't rain enough, if it's it goes from one extreme to another. Even where you don't have situations like flooding situations taking place, it's I think a lot of times people just want to complain about something. You know, it's too hot, it's too cold, too warm, it's not enough rain, too much rain. You know, people need to be learned to be thankful for what they get. When they want, when they have cool weather, they want hot weather. When they have rain, they want it dry. When it's dry, they want rain. you know, and it's going around. I mean, it's like an epidemic.
Yeah.
Why do we have to eat this bread again? I mean, it's just, it's the fleshly nature, without a doubt.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I guess that's what it is. We just see it more and more as it is just coming to fruition, I guess, these days that we're in.
I think that's one of the things that Timothy is describing. You know, it talks about men will become lovers of self, you know. They want it their way all the time, you know.
Yeah.
It's just that selfishness that comes out of people, you know, and there's an awful lot of selfish people. It's like, you know, they don't think, you know, when it's raining, you know, they don't want it to rain. It doesn't matter if the farmers in the area need it or not. You know, when the sun's shining, you know, they wish that it was cloudy. You know, it's just like, I think that people need to learn to be thankful for what they get.
Yes.
You know, a lot more often. We've been blessed with rain down here. I mean, I've talked to people and they've been telling me that, you know, they're in a drought over here and they're in a, you know, or it's, you know, they've got had excess number of water and consider it flooding over there. You know, right here, we've been blessed. This fall, you know, this later time in the summer here has been, it's been good. We've had some hot days. We've had rain. You know, we haven't had excess rain. We've had, it really is just right. You know, we've continue to pray for the Heavenly Father to give us the moisture that we need, and we've got it.
Amen. Yeah. Yep. Tim, you had, I think, even said you guys, even in, I think, the last, couple years, Nebraska's been in a pretty big drought, and you guys have even had rain over there.
Yes, it's been very dry, and we've gotten, I think I heard like 6 or 7 inches in the last, you know, week and a half. So that's just great. And I agree with what you're saying. It's like mankind is just contrary. You know, they're just...
And it's not just that they're contrary. It's like if you got a situation like that, how about doing what you can do about it, and that is pray about it.
Yeah.
You know?
And be content.
You know, that's the last thing that is on people's minds. They want to complain about it, but they don't want to pray about it, you know. And hey, until you complain, you know, until you pray about it, why don't you quit complaining about it? You have not because you ask not, you know. But people don't want to do the simple.
Right. Paul writes in Philippians 4:11. He says, "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am." And I think that that's a good lesson for all of us. You know, it is the circumstances that we find ourselves in. You know, if we're doing our best to stay on the straight and narrow, and this is it. I mean, this applies individually, but certainly as a people, that we should be content. That, you know, there's times that, you know, isn't it good that God makes those decisions when it rains and when it doesn't? Because we certainly can't make those. And you know, now Paul's talking here. I think that it applies in you know, so many different areas. He goes on and says, "I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need." And then he goes on, "I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." And just that teaching, it's not a little teaching, but just that teaching, it's evident that is lacking, that is not in the in our consciousness. It's not in our society today. Everybody just wants more, and we very rarely see contentment, certainly not in the world. You know, they got to have a newer car and a bigger house and fancier clothes, and they're never I think that our enemy fosters this discontentment, and so our people are never satisfied. and they won't be satisfied apart from Christ.
I guess Jason's flooding down there. I heard the submarine going down.
Well, again, go ahead, Tim.
It's a learned response, so that means that it's a self-discipline or a discipline that you've got to accomplish. And the thing about learning something is you, you know, you have to study it until you get it. So
you have to practice it, right? You have to practice it, you know, it's the lawlessness that's practiced, and the greed, and the covetousness that seems to be practiced more today than, you know, than just the opposite, than teachings like this.
It is. You know, we all know Romans 8:28, you know, and we know that God works, or God causes all things to work together for good, and most of us, and I've been guilty of it before, stop there. But the next half of that verse is so important, because it says, to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. You see, God doesn't work all things out for good for those who don't love Him.
Yeah.
And for those who aren't called for His purpose. And we forget that, you know. Last Saturday I was at a wedding, a small wedding, and there was a lot, well, not a lot, because it was a small wedding, but there was quite a few people there that are so-called Christians. And they really have a don't judge me attitude, which goes along with the law's been done away with, and we're all under grace. I mean, it all goes hand in hand, but they're living in sin. You can feel it on them. You can see it on them. You can sense it. It's an air about them.
It's a spirit.
It's a spirit.
It's what it is.
It is
a spirit.
They have that don't judge me attitude when all you do is you look at them. I think it's because their conscience is actually condemning them, because they haven't been baptized for the remission of sins. They haven't put on Christ. They haven't lost that condemningness that they have. They know they're living in sin. They know they're serving only the flesh. They're only being, like Jason said, lovers of self every day of their lives.
Yep.
And, you know, God doesn't work all things out for good for them.
Not for those that don't love Him.
No, He doesn't. No. You know, and it you know, it's kind of like a domino effect then, because then they get more of that bad spirit and attitude, and it's hard to see for some, but it's when you're walking in the Spirit and you've got the Spirit, you can just, like you said, you can just see that spirit. Because it's contrary.
Yeah, and that is what it is. It is that spirit. We've talked in the past and learned from our pastor how, you know, and heard it time and time again and experienced it, how you can walk into a room and you can sense the spirits that are there. Sometimes they're spirits of love and joy and peace and happiness, and you just feel comfortable, and it's a good feeling. It's a good spirit. And then there's times that you can go in and you can sense that it's not good, that there's strife, that there's contention. You know, we have terms like you could cut the air with a knife, right? Because it's this overbearing, sinning spirit.
Well, I think of the words of John 14:15. It says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. But then, you know, they don't want to do that either. You know, they want to talk like they love him, but they sure don't love him. There's a difference between saying that you love him and loving him. And there's a difference between, that scripture that Kyle read was, there's a lot of cause and effect right there. I mean, you know, you do this, this is what happens. Amen.
And we see that. I mean, that's one of the major themes of the Bible. You know, I like how you put that, Jason. It is. It's cause and effect. It's if, then. you know, if you love me, keep my commandments. I mean, that's just a reiteration of, really, of Deuteronomy 28. If you obey my word, If you obey my word, we cannot imagine the blessings that he has in store for us here in the physical, if we will obey his word. We read a little bit about him, but we can't. We don't even understand the magnitude of the blessings that he has for us if we will do just what you said, Jason, keep his commandments.
Yeah, I didn't say it. That's the word of Jesus
Christ.
Right.
Well, that you brought out.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, that's what people. You know, you got a whole slew of people out here, probably more than ever out there, pretending to love him. You know, saying that they love him, but you know, then they turn around and they do away with his commandments. You know, how can you love him? I mean, that one line in scripture in there. They completely eliminate it, you know, because they change the meaning of love, or what, you know, how, you know, the directions that we have concerning loving our Heavenly Father.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
Well, and the abundance of the blessing is so great that the whole world's blessed in Israel when they follow God's law. I mean, so it can be it can bless the whole world when God's people do what he wants.
Well, yeah, we got to remember too that the Lord brings these plagues on his disobedient people to try to get them to repent and to turn to him, change their wicked ways, and you know there'll be those that hate the Christians that keep God's laws and commandments because they believe they're the ones that are bringing these plagues upon them, but there'll be those that will wake up, you know. So even the plagues that he brings upon the people, the flooding and all that, it's you know, he's not slow as the world counts slow, but not wanting any to perish and all to come to repentance.
Yeah, he gives a lot of warning.
Right.
I mean, really does a lot of warning. He gave a lot of warning to me in my life. I mean, he's been so patient with me, you know, and let alone society as a whole. I mean, we all have these warnings that he sends our way for our good. You know, it's why we read the Word of God. It's so it'll hit home somewhere,
right,
and do somebody some good. It's not just because, you know, we like to tell people they're going to go to hell if they don't serve God. I mean, that has nothing to do with it.
Right. And it's like you read in Romans 8:28. He works all things for good for those that love him. So when we come to the realization of that, it's almost like it's a two-sided coin. You know, if we love him, Jason read, if we love him, we keep his commandments. We read in 8:28 that he works all things for good. So if there's a flood that comes, hey, it's good. It may be a warning to somebody else. It may be an opportunity for you to be a blessing to somebody else. You know, many of these things that come up truly are opportunities, you know, for us when that happens. But when we realize that he does it, when we love him, we realize that he's doing it out of love, and we see that he has that patience.
But you have to see it, you know. I mean,
yeah.
Because what's he say? You love me because I loved you first. I mean, really, when it gets down to it, you know. But you have to be able to see that.
Yeah. You know, and
yeah, I went and got my haircut this week, and
hey, all right, hey,
had a chance to witness to the lady who cuts my hair's husband, and you know, he always sort of, he's lukewarm Christian, and we got to talking, and he's like, well, yeah, I believe in God, but you know, it was kind of almost the same lines as my older brother saying that, well, you know, the Bible just seems like it's written by men. And I said, well, if you don't believe it's the Word of God and you don't believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then you're not a Christian. And he's looking at me, you know, and anyways, we got to talking, and I was trying to tell him about baptism and the importance of that and how the enemies of God have kept you from that. And once you fulfill that commitment, then, you know, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and you'll start to see these truths. And I spent, I don't know, an hour and a half or something, and I just said, you really need to read Revelation. And then his wife's like, well, you know, I read the Bible several times, but I'm just afraid to read Revelation. And I'm like, what, are you kidding me? I said, you got to read Revelation. And anyways, after about an hour and a half, I think he definitely, I mean, they gave me a hug. We prayed together, and it was a good thing. I think it hit home, and I'm sure it's going to make a difference in their lives. So, and you know, and I said, too, they've always had a hard time, you know, barely making it, struggling and everything else. And I said, the other thing you're not doing is you're not following the laws of tithing. And he goes, well, what's that? And I said, God can do more with 90% than you can with 100%. And, you know, and then I went into that and how if you give the first fruits to God, then he'll always, you know, give back, and you'll always have food on your table, and you'll never be wanting. And he never knew that either, you know. So, like Dad said in the beginning, when Brother Word, you know, was preaching, and he could have been bigger than most of these evangelists, there was two things that they would not allow him to preach on, and that was tithing, because he knew that the people would be blessed, and baptism, because they knew that it was critical to salvation.
Yeah. And that's our enemy's job, is to keep God's people from being blessed.
Yep.
Well, can you imagine if you're the enemy, you're wanting to put chains around everybody's necks, and God keeps bailing them out? Of course they don't want that.
Yeah. Yep. Well, folks,
and that's one of those areas where we're told to test God. I mean, you know.
The only area.
Yeah.
Yeah, he told us.
Test me. Yeah.
Yeah, test me. So these people, well, I can't believe that'll work, or, you know, well, whatever. And, you know, you hear a multitude of excuses, but it's like, hey, just give it a try and check it out. See what it does. You know, see what happens. Test it out. So, the proof will be there. I guarantee it. And so does he.
Amen. Amen. Well, folks,
I mean, I'll be the first to admit, when I first came into the church, you know, 20 years ago, people started telling me about tithing, and I'm like, whoa, what do you mean? Really? 10%? No way. I don't know if I can afford that. And then, you know, Dad did some really good sermons on when he was working two and three jobs, and barely surviving, and he couldn't figure out what it was, and then finally it was like, duh, and started tithing again, and all of a sudden he was working two jobs, and kept tithing, and all of a sudden he was working the one job and doing what he was supposed to be doing. So
yeah,
it's a little hard to get into that when if you haven't done it, but the truth is, he can do more with 90% than you can with 100%.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and what a lot of people, I was arguing with somebody about that here just recently, and you know, they want to understand it, and it's something that you can't understand because you can't explain it, because it's in the supernatural realm.
Yeah,
you know, faith, and I was I was telling them, you know, it's something that is obtained through faith. It is the unseen, but the truth is that God can make your 90% go farther than he can, than you can make that 100%. Go. And I said, that's true. And well, how does, and I said, you can't explain it, you know,
right.
It, you know, it is a supernatural law. It's an unseen, you know, thing.
It's like when your car gets a few more miles per gallon, or you know, or your garden does so much better. It just, even those little things all together add up to the point where, you know, you're definitely, you're doing better than you would if you weren't following God's laws. So.
Amen. Well, exactly. And the point is, you know, why do people want to argue with that? You know, it's in the Bible. You know, this person's a Christian. It's in the Bible. It's what the Word of God says. We know that we're supposed to do it. But then they want an explanation about it. you know,
see, that's the problem. They don't have the faith.
Yeah.
They don't have the faith, and they don't have the obedience.
No. Well, and it's,
you know, obedience is, you know, you don't have to understand everything when you're being obedient to it. You know, sometimes you do things because you're told to. You know, it's like a child coming up and saying, "Daddy, Daddy, do you have to do this?" Yes. Well, why? You don't know everybody an explanation, and that's the way our Heavenly Father works. Sometimes he's just plumb happy because we do things because he said to.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have to go into the ins and outs of explaining it. Well, I can take, you know, that 10% and I do this with it, and I can take that 90% and I can, you know, unlock, you know. He doesn't have to.
Nope. Well, it's just like the loaves and the fishes try to explain that one. You know, I mean, it's the same thing.
You're right. Yep. Gathered more crumbs than they started with.
Well, and with Elijah and the widow woman and her oil, because she honored God with all she had, her oil never ran out. And they didn't die, but they lived. And, you know, I don't know who her descendants are, but I bet you that oil is still there and hadn't run out yet. Very good points, you know, because he tells us, as was mentioned, test me in this, you know. Now, we're not to tempt God, but his word tells us that in that area, we can test him. And it's not the same as, you know, you take your first 10% and put it in a coffee can and bury it in the backyard. You won't get the same results. You won't.
Well, the flip side of that coin is look at what God does with the 10%. I mean, the things that are accomplished. It goes, you know, it does. He said, don't rob me. Well, he takes that and he multiplies that too.
Right.
You know, and does amazing things with it. So, praise the Lord, like Jason said, for those supernatural events, because it goes on.
They do. And they're faith builders. They should be. They should be faith builders. When we see what his word says to do, and then when we do it, even if we're testing him, okay, Lord, I'm going to test you. You say test you, I'm going to test you on this. And do that. And then when you see it happen, you know, I don't know anything else that can build your faith. When you see his word come true, and I think, John, like you mentioned, the people out there that or maybe it was Jason, that they just don't believe the word. They for one, they don't know it. Our enemy's done such a good job of removing it from the public fool system, and removing it and substituting, you know, the word with everything else, from 300 channels on your cable TV to, you know, 75 channels on your radio. I mean, everything else. There's plenty to do besides read the word. And when you get two or three generations into that, the people don't know. They don't know about tithing. Like you said, John, I remember when I didn't. I certainly didn't understand it and didn't know anything about it. And that's how the majority of our people are, at least in this nation, that they just don't, you know, they just don't know.
Yeah, you talk to even preachers, local preachers, you know, and even some of these mega churches, they're more concentrated. I was talking to a young man the other day that goes to a big Baptist church, and they come up in front of the church and they talk about the giving units. That's what they're calling these people in the congregation, giving units. And they ask you to sign a pledge for how much money you're going to give each week, and they keep track of, you know, just like the world. They worry about, you know, the details instead of just telling them point blank, look, this is God's law. You follow this, you'll be blessed. Take it or leave it. You know what I'm saying?
John, we had a Acres of Diamonds man, and him and his wife sent in a little news blurb not too long ago talking about these mega churches, and that for the giving, what they do now, they have, like, you can send, I guess it's an iPad with a little card swiper on it. And they have a program set up on it that during the time of giving in the church, they'll walk around, have their ushers walk down as they're passing a plate, and they'll pass that iPad, and you just punch it up. You bring your name up off the list, and
put a number in.
The amount that you want to donate, and you swipe your card right there in the pew, and then it says...
It's like the ones that order a drink on an airplane ride.
Yeah, it is. And they say thank you, and it moves, and then you give it to the next person. You know, and it is because they love money. They love money.
But what's interesting is my dad, my natural dad, he read his Bible, and he read it a lot. You know, he didn't have all the truth, and he was blinded by a lot. But growing up in the Lutheran faith his whole life, he saw what the churches were doing, and he'd left several
because they would actually hire someone for $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 to basically come in and fleece the people. They'd come in, they'd set up an appointment to come into your home and tell you about their grand plans. They'd have pictures and models and all this of this new great church that they want to build and this land that's prime that they need to buy and this and that. And, you know, 80% of them would just, oh, yeah, well, we could probably, you know, this, that. And my dad would just say, you're not coming to my house. And they'd be pestering him time and time again. And finally, he'd just say, that's it. I'm done. And he'd walk out. And that'd be the end of it. And, you know, so I give him a lot of credit for that. And of course, my mom's there. Well, you got to let them come. They have to present, you know. It's just, like, unbelievable.
I was visiting a church one time, and they were having a faith-based, you know, drive, and they passed all these little cards out, wanted everybody to fill out how much they were going to give and over this time frame. And then if you read the small print at the bottom of the card where they wanted to sign it, it says something to the effect that this card is a contract and it obligates you to such and such, and that if you don't fulfill your part of the bargain, that they can, you know, it's like, wait a minute, I thought you said it was like faith-based giving.
Yeah, where's their faith?
Exactly.
I can remember when I was growing up, they, in the front of the church, it was the Lutheran church, they'd have one of them charts, you know, that you fill in with the goal on the top and the bottom, and then they fill it in with red or whatever. They'd have that up in the front of the church every Sunday to show the progress that they're making on their goal, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, like the United Way does out in front of City Hall, you know?
Yeah.
They oh, this is our goal, and we're here. I remember that growing up in the Southern Free Will Baptist Church, you know, they'd collect the money, go in the back and count it, and then they'd come up and put it on the little board.
Like the Jerry Lewis telephone thing?
It was. And you know, that's not, those are perversions of the promise of tithing. They really are. They are perversions of it. The Bible talks about it. The Bible is very clear about it. And the enemies of God do everything they can to pervert what is true and good and proper.
Well, there's almost a counterfeit for everything in the Bible.
There is. I mean, yes.
Satan has his, you know, you can call it whatever you want, Babylon, a New World. I mean, there's almost a counterfeit for every doctrine, true doctrine. There's that counterfeit of the, you know, phony baloney.
Sometimes several.
Yes.
Like baptism. Yeah. Baptism is for the remission of sin in the name of Jesus Christ by full immersion. And you can get baptized in so many different ways. They have infant baptisms. They have sprinkling. They have just, you name it. I don't know if they've come out with the dry cleaning yet, but just about every other way.
Yeah, that's accepting Jesus in your heart.
Yeah. Okay, well, there you go. So they do. They have it at nine ways to Sunday. And but you know, but there is a true baptism.
And that's the one they condemn.
And that's the one they condemn. What? Oh, you're a water regenerationist, aren't you? Yes.
Yeah, the thing we got to remember, though, is there's those wicked ones, those wolves in sheep's clothing that have gone in and infiltrated these churches all the way to the points of their pulpits and ingratiated themselves and brought in their false doctrines and their pagan beliefs and teachings.
It is.
There was
even the seminary level.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, they have. They've come through.
Big churches. There's a big church there in the Chicago area that my younger brother went to, and they had that church paid off. Beautiful church in a nice neighborhood, you know, nice piece of ground. And I'm sure someone who had infiltrated the church come up with this plan to buy this piece of ground and build this other church, and they had a big fundraiser, and they raised enough money to buy the land. Well, that was right before 2008 when everything, you know, took a downfall. That land dropped to about a third of what it was worth, and by the time they had to start trying to pay that back, they about lost the church and, you know, all the equity that they'd had in it and everything. So,
yeah. All I can say to that, though, is, and my people love to have it so.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. They don't follow God's laws, and then they wonder why everything falls apart. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, that that story of the unknown prophet, you know, where the old prophet deceives him. Well, the young prophet, the unknown prophet, is the one that got eaten up by the bears and, you know, I mean, shredded and, you know, I mean, if you had to compare it, it was actually a worse sin to be deceived than it was to be the deceiver, at least in that part of it, you know.
Yep.
Because it's a horrible sin to want to believe those lies.
Yep.
You know, because you know, almost everybody who's been called, that's part of their calling, has been called to some sort of light, you know, some sort of truth, mm-hmm. you know, and what prevents them from being the chosen is they let their calling go away because they wanted to believe a lie instead, you know.
Yeah. Well, folks, you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. It's on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, going out, of course, live on the Internet, on audio satellite, and to the website, scripturesforamerica.org, to the live audio stream. And if you have an iPhone, you can click on that and get it right there on your iPhone as well. You just go to the Scriptures for America website and click on the live audio, or on Sunday morning, you can click on the live video stream and choose iPhone, and if you got a signal, you can get it right there to your iPhone and watch and listen. And we know many people do that. I checked it this morning as soon as we came on, and the signal's going through loud and clear, and that's good to know. And before we run out of time today, we'll invite you to church tomorrow, 10 o'clock Mountain Time. We invite you to come to the website, scripturesforamerica.org, and click on the live video stream, and you can join us for church. And if you want to come in person, we have people. It truly is a worldwide ministry. I know myself, sometimes I don't think how of the power of shortwave and how shortwave does go all over the world. We send newsletters, that Dragon Slayer we talked about at the beginning of the broadcast. We send the hundreds of Dragon Slayer newsletters to countries all over the world, north, south, east, and west. And the shortwave broadcasts, take these broadcasts and do just that, sends them throughout the world.
Just look at the family showed up yesterday, or last Sunday, out of the blue from Bolivia.
Bolivia, right.
14 children and just showed up and said, you know what, we heard Pastor Peters preaching on shortwave, and we had an opportunity. I wanted to bring my family to the United States and show them the true Jerusalem, Jerusalem, and he understands the Israel truth. And, you know, but that's Bolivia. And he said the signal is not that strong, but they tune the radio the best they can, and they sit and they listen to the truth. And
yeah.
So all of that.
Yep. And until last Sunday, we didn't know them.
Nope.
And they're going to be back. And, you know, church tomorrow is going to have a bit of an international flair because we have this large family from Bolivia coming up. And they're Caucasian, just so you know. And his wife's German and beautiful family. We also have a Christian family coming down from Canada bringing a friend for baptism. And so we have that to look forward to tomorrow at church as well. And so, again...
And we have a pretty steady stream of baptisms lately. That's great. Praise God.
We have. And we have them set up. We got a picture last week of Acres of Diamond Man baptizing up in Maine. And we've got a baptism that we're working on getting set up in Massachusetts. And so, yeah, it is. It's...
had an 82-year-old...
Glad to hear that.
...local man get baptized here just a week or so ago. And so, never too late to see the truth until you're in the ground.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I still got some coffee left. I brought a thermos this morning.
Don't be calling in.
Yeah.
Must be sleeping.
Phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. I think some of them are out there dealing with the flood. And, It may very well be that they're just sleeping in. Who knows? Well, saw a news report this past week how in Virginia they've, and it made several different news organizations how their Virginia gun sales in the state of Virginia have just, like everywhere else, have gone through the roof. And they're seeing a significant drop in crime. And they're tying this together. It says, despite a sharp increase in the number of guns being sold in Virginia, gun-related crimes have diminished. How about that? Gun sales have gone up 16% there in 2012 over 2011. And it's the fourth year in a row, they say, that this has happened. The gun sales have continued to climb, and crime has continued to come down.
You're just a conspiracy theorist.
Imagine that. And then you get this this professor at Virginia Commonwealth University who studies criminology theory.
Imagine that.
I mean, this is what he does. Well, and this is what he says. You know, it's kind of like God speaking through the ass, I think. This appears to be additional evidence that more guns don't necessarily lead to more crime, says this Professor Baker. It's a quite interesting trend, he says, given the current rhetoric about strengthening gun laws and the presumed effect it would have on violent crimes. Now, while you can't conclude from this that tougher laws would reduce crime even more, it really makes you question if making it harder for law-abiding people to buy a gun would have any effect on crime.
You better hope he's tenured, because he ain't going to be around long.
And so, anyway, I just thought that was interesting, that here, even out of their left-wing liberal universities and professors and things like that, you hear that. Another one caught my eye was this here in Memphis, Tennessee. It was a headline, business owner scares away suspects after third attempted robbery. And it's in Memphis, so she was a foreigner as well, but her store's robbed. About a month later, they come back and rob her again. She gets a gun. About a month later, the same two people come back, and they go to rob her again. She pulls it out, starts firing, and the police got them arrested them. But you don't see that. You don't see the talking heads on, you know, talking about those type things. So,
and if they hadn't arrested them, guess what? They would have picked a different store to go to next time.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Well, let's check the phone lines here. Good morning. Thanks for calling into Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. This is Robert, and I'm calling in this morning. Well, it's my second time calling you guys now, and I'm calling from Jackson, Michigan.
Robert from Jackson, Michigan. Well, thanks for calling in.
You're welcome. I'm listening to you on a nice clean signal on 9480. And I appreciate this so much, being able to listen to you guys on shortwave and on the internet. It's just amazing. Eyes are being opened up even more and more to some of the things going on, you know, in the Bible, and the history, the stories. I mean, everything there that's so real. It just amazes me, and I want to learn more. And how do I go about, like, going to, like, attending a local church? I mean, that goes along here with what we're learning here, you know, on Scriptures for America.
Well, Robert, what we suggest is join us for church tomorrow.
I always do.
Okay.
I haven't been lately.
You know, as for a local church, the term few and far between, I think, come to mind. Very few, very
right.
Far between.
That's what I was thinking, too.
For whatever reason, you know, God seems to have his remnant scattered.
Mm-hmm.
And we certainly, our pastor held this viewpoint, and we sure stay with it, that it's for our protection.
Mm-hmm.
It truly is. We have people periodically, you know, that ask that, well, where's a local church in, you know, in name the city?
Right.
Whether it's Tampa or Denver or what. And that's one of the reasons that the pastor over the years went through the expense to build up the shortwave broadcasts and to build up the internet and to build up the and the DVD church that we send out hundreds every Monday and the live video streaming. We were live video streaming, I'd say before just about anybody else. You know, many church services out there would record their program and then play it later in the day, like on public TV or something.
Right, the last few months that I've been listening to you guys on here, I've learned more from the Bible than I have in all my other years.
So,
praise God.
Yeah, so I don't know of any like-minded churches in Michigan at all. We do have some Acres of Diamonds men up there in Michigan.
I was going to ask you about that. What is that, the Acres of Diamonds?
Well, Robert, we don't have time to get into it on this program because we've only got about 10 minutes left. But
I'll let you guys go, though, but I just wanted to say thank you guys so much. I'm enjoying my coffee here with you.
Good.
And I'm enjoying the Lord here being with us all, too.
Good. Well, Robert, I'd be glad to give you our office phone number. It's different than the call-in number. And if you want to call us...
I have it here in my Dragon Slayer.
Okay. Give us a call during the week, and we'll see if we can get you in touch with some like-minded men there in the Michigan area.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
All right, Robert. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That is not an uncommon question.
No.
But the problem is... A little leaven leavens a whole lump, because, like you said, Richard, they're few and far between, if there's any at all. And if you got a whole lot of, if you're a very tolerant person, that's not good either, you know, because the leaven will get you, you know. But if you're not a tolerant person and you attempt it, guess what? You'll get mad and you'll get in arguments and you'll get, and pretty soon you might even get bitterness. So that's not good either.
Right.
You know what I mean? So... I mean, it's not a good answer, but it's a true answer.
It's the way it is. Yeah, it's just the way it is. You know, what we do have, and Robert, if you're still listening, is we know that there are many, let's put it that way, many families that gather on Sunday to either they gather together, several will come together in a home to watch the live video stream of the church service, and many join us that way. Many that may, you know, will gather around and listen in on the shortwave on Sunday, like Robert said that he does. And then there's also many that will get the DVD church and gather maybe the next week and have a couple or several families come together and have that way they're not forsaking the assembly. They're gathering together. They're worshiping Jesus Christ.
Taking communion.
They're taking communion. They are... not being just that, just the lone stranger way out in the mountain, you know, secluding themselves and not having any Bible fellowship, any fellowship with like-minded believers. Now, is that easy? No, it's not. I remember, you know, before we came out here and moved out here, that we were on the ministry for 8-9 years before we moved out here. And we did that. You know, that was back before the DVDs. It was, you know, get the cassette tape and gather around the kitchen table and open your Bibles, and that's what we did. And we know that many do that.
Keep that in your prayers. We're actually kicking around an idea, some sort of a true outreach ministry, mobile, that maybe would go to an area and rent a hall or something like that, and just call for the brethren to get together for the fellowship. I mean, there's one thing, Branson, there's teaching and there's learning, but the thing that people appreciate more than anything, I think, is the fellowship with like-minded believers. And if this works out, then it would be someone who would be able to baptize people, travel around the country, gather our brethren together on a Sunday, and maybe have a baptism or whatever. But... Yeah, keep that in your prayers. We're trying to see how the details would work on something like that.
Amen. Amen. And again, I think that points to the importance of the Branson gathering. You know, anymore, that's the once a year time to actually gather together physically with like-minded believers. And we're working on 2014 dates right now. It's probably going to be that first weekend in June. I know we were looking at a couple different weekends, but I think that's... So if you want to mark your calendars now, because if you don't, it'll be May before you know it, and then, I didn't hear anything about it, so don't let that happen.
Yeah, I think we'll start putting in the newsletter, too, about Branson, just to remind people that even now is the time to start making plans.
It is.
I know we have plans to have more children's classes, stuff to keep the children busy, and also teaching them at their level, music. But I think it's really critical that those patriarchs out there that have sons and daughters that are, you know, getting to that marrying age, if we could get our people to come there and, you know, brother, and for our youth to get together and meet each other, and, you know, Lord willing, they hit it off and they decide to be married and continue on being fruitful and multiplying. Because you watch the statistics, even this week in Time Magazine, there was a huge article on just what a benefit it is not to have children, you know, how much more money you'll have and how much more you'll have at retirement. And,
right. It is.
You know, that's the world way. We don't want to go the way of the world. Right. So.
And as our enemy puts that out, you know, again, that's for us. Because let me tell you something. The blacks are having children.
Yep.
And the Mexicans are having children. And the antichrists are having children. And so who do you think that's addressed to? And who do you think's on the that they picture in the article? It's a white couple.
People.
It's a white couple. It's the
sheep.
It's
not the only time they put
it is.
You know, the white
it
couple
is.
In the front of the...
It's the sheep that are told that, and so many of them go, bah, okay, and go along with it. And we do our best to counter that. We do. And so, you know, plan now. We get together in Branson the first weekend in June. And again, you can join us at church tomorrow morning, Sunday morning, at 10 a.m. Come to the website, scripturesforamerica.org. And, you know, or if you're like some of the families from Bolivia and Canada, just come on up and join us. You know, if you do want to join us at church, we do ask you, you know, give us a call. Let us know you're coming.
Especially for a baptism.
Yeah, this Christian family from Canada did just that. We've been emailing back and forth, and we really appreciate that. So that we're, you know, we kind of know what to expect, and we can give you some good directions to the church. And guys, we're about out of time. Wow, where did this hour go? Any closing comments?
Just invite people to church.
I think we just did. Well, again, thanks for joining us. The Dragon Slayer newsletter be in the mail next week. If you'd like to get it, we don't charge to send it out. It costs an arm and a leg, I can tell you that, to put it together every month. And you just would not believe the postage bill when we go down and send this out. We send it out free of charge. We don't charge for it. But it does have a wealth of information.
Just slide your card on the side of your computer.
You know, it's not that we certainly don't love that money, but you know, the pastor would talk about that. You know, the part of it is you have to have it like a business. We have bills to pay. If you'd like to get that Dragon Slayer, you can write to us. Our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado 80535. Send us a note, say I'd like to get a sample Dragon Slayer. We'll be glad to send you one. Thanks again for joining in. We'll go out with this song. It's one of the pastor's favorites. Hope you enjoy it. Thanks for joining us.
Rolling, 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 stay high. This country stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head.
though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting. Be waiting at